but my husband, by the grace of God, pulled her away in just the nick of time where the guy's fist only grazed her face. Melissa Gorga. A big fist fight broke out, just punches flying everywhere. Caroline Manzo. You have to remember the lights never came on and the music never stopped. So all of this is happening when it's dark and loud. It was bedlam, a full-out brawl. Greg Bennett. It was just chaos. I started sobbing after it was over. As the lights came on, I was crying and I didn't know where to go or what was going on. Caroline Manzo. I don't know how it ended. The police were never called, that I recall. But when we got back to our rooms that night, Lauren had a nasty cut on her leg because she had fallen on some broken glass. And Joe Giudice sat in the bathroom with her pulling shards of glass out with a tweezer before cleaning her cut and bandaging it. He took such good care of her. That's what people don't know about Joe. He's got a good heart. Greg Bennett. The next morning, the police came to question all of us, including the people who started the fight. Caroline Manzo. It was my belief that they knew who we were, and they were looking for a problem from the beginning. Because before the fight even started, my daughter was going to get a drink and they called her reality trash or something. And then, when we were talking to the police, the guys described my boys and Greg Bennett, but they had never seen Joe Gorga because he wasn't on TV at that point. He had been filming, but it hadn't aired, so they didn't bring him up. They did say some guy named Joe, talking about Joe Giudice, which also tells me they knew who we were because there was no way they heard the name Joe in such a loud place. They kept saying, the guy with the beard, and we kept saying, we don't know who that is, because Joe was not implicated by that point, and we were trying to protect him. But then Teresa goes, oh, my husband's name is Joe, so that's how he got detained too. Greg Bennett. They took away our passports, me, Albie, Chris, and Joe, and we were told we couldn't leave the country until this was figured out. Caroline Manzo. At this point, Bravo then says to us, you need to go home. And I say to Bravo, good luck with that. I am not leaving. I don't give a fuck what you tell me. I'm not leaving. Melissa Gorga. Joe and I got out of the country safely. We were allowed to go, and we left to get home to the kids. Lucilla D'Agostino. It was devastating, knowing that my cast was in a foreign country and detained. I can tell you that for 5 days, I didn't leave my office. I had trash bags covering my windows so no one could see in because I was sleeping there. We were spending 24 hours a day trying to get in touch with lawyers and officials down in the Dominican Republic to figure out what was happening and how we could help. Caroline Manzo. They weren't exactly arrested or incarcerated because there weren't any official charges, but they had to sit in the lobby of the jail every day. I would not leave my sons, so we sat there with them. And exactly across from us were the guys who started the fight. This went on for at least 3 days. We'd arrive at 8 a.m. and be allowed to go home around dinner time. They fed us water and a cheese sandwich. At one point, I went to the bathroom, and to get there, you had to walk through the women's holding area. I'm talking a dirt floor, women sitting on a bench, bars on the windows. It was so filthy, I said, I'll be goddamned if I'm walking out of here without my boys. Lucilla D'Agostino. It was horrifying. I just remember at the time calling a friend of mine and saying, what happens in a Dominican jail? Greg Bennett. I was pretty terrified. It was not the most above-board operation we were dealing with. There were requests being made to give money to get out of it, and we were just waiting it out. Lucilla D'Agostino. A lot of the accusations were being thrown their way in Spanish, and nobody spoke Spanish, so they didn't even know what they were being accused of because they couldn't understand. Dolores Catania. I was supposed to be on that trip. I had filmed a few times that season, and even went on the Catskills trip. They asked me to come to the Dominican Republic, and I have mad connections there. Like, I know the president and general. So I had the whole trip planned. We were going to stay at this mansion on a coconut farm. They were going to take us there on a helicopter. And at the last minute, they cut me out of the trip, replaced me with Greg, and had to stay at the Hard Rock Hotel. Maybe if I went, they wouldn't have wound up in jail. Caroline Manzo. One of the things that stuck in my mind was when Bravo called the NBC attorneys in. They came rolling in, wearing these gorgeous, beautiful black suits, one more beautiful than the other. Me, Teresa, and Lauren were going, "Holy fuck, look how beautiful the guys are." Lucilla D'Agostino. In the end, there weren't any formal charges. It all became a whole bunch of people pointing fingers. Authorities couldn't figure out who was at fault. It was like a great big mystery. Greg Bennett. The lawyers got us released and we transferred to a new hotel to await our passports. And we just waited there every day until the passports came in. Caroline Manzo. Every day we packed our luggage to be ready to go at a moment's notice. Wherever we went, the luggage was right with us. When we finally got them, the producers looked at us and said, "Let's get the fuck out of here." And we ran. We had cars waiting by that drove us right to the airport. Producers had us literally running as if we were missing a flight to get on a plane. Excuse me, coming through. Out of the way, please. Sorry. They ran us right to the front of the line at TSA and got us on that plane and got us home. Greg Bennett. It was like Argo. I kept waiting for Ben Affleck to pop out. It was a wild thing that happened to us. To this day, I can say I was in jail with Teresa Giudice and her husband. Just one of many people who can say that, I suppose. Dolores Catania. None of them will go there anymore. Caroline Manzo. Oh, the Manzo family will never set foot on Dominican Republic soil again. We used to go often over the years, but it was such a wild thing that there truly is in us a little bit of fear going. Well, what if we go back and they see this passport? We're not going back. Greg Bennett. You know, I think that was the real catalyst for the Teresa and Caroline fallout. It all started to go downhill after that. Everybody had kind of had enough of Teresa throwing a champagne bottle around and starting a brawl in a bar. Caroline thought, this is not as cute, as funny as it was in the beginning. Because of the ever-changing dynamics between the castmates and family members, producers decided, in A Housewives First, to film seasons 3 and 4 with no break in between. Melissa Gorga. There is nothing like our seasons 3 and 4. They were crazy. They were 22 or 23 episodes each, filmed without a break. Lucilla D'Agostino. It got increasingly difficult to tell the truth of what was happening because every time we went down between seasons, the dynamics would shift. It was like, you go to the reunion, you leave the reunion, everyone picks their corner and chooses their side. Then 4 weeks later, after the dust settled, I'd see that so-and-so and so-and-so went to lunch. And it's like, how the hell did that happen? That would blow my mind. Then I would have to backtrack and explain it on the show. So I thought, what if I could capture the rationale in the moment? At a certain point, it's cheaper to keep filming than it is to step down, because then I had some way of at least explaining to the viewer that this is not lies. Melissa Gorga. There was just so much real shit going on. They were scared to give it the 9-month break they normally do. We had a 2-week break and then started up again. Kathy Wakili. Our producers told us, check your email. Pickups for next season already came in. And we were like, what do you mean? We didn't even film a reunion. Lucilla D'Agostino. Even though I'm the person who pushed for it, filming 2 seasons back-to-back was exhausting for everybody. Andy Cohen. Oh, that was a disaster. We will never make that same mistake again. There was a moment when we considered doing it again with Potomac around the time of the pandemic, and we said, remember Jersey? Melissa Gorga. Watching it and filming it at the same time was rough. I was crying every day. The producers would tell me, don't worry, you'll see, the truth comes out at the end of the season. I was like, I can't wait. It was honestly the longest season we ever had. 23 long weeks. Caroline Manzo. I remember it taking its toll on everyone because it was very dark. It was completely consuming in every aspect of your life. One consequence of shooting 2 seasons back to back was that when it came time for the season 3 reunion, filming for season 4 was underway. And though it still hadn't aired, season 4 filming had caused enough chaos that, at the last minute, Jacqueline refused to attend the season 3 reunion. Andy Cohen. The night before the reunion, there was a huge fight revolving around Strippergate, and Jacqueline refused to leave her house. I was so pissed at her, furious. Lucilla D'Agostino. She and I were on the phone for 4 or 5 hours the night before. I was trying to convince Jacqueline to come. Rebecca Toth, another executive producer, who was pregnant at the time, even got in a car and drove all the way to Franklin Lakes and stood outside Jacqueline's house talking to her through the door. Andy Cohen. I was like, well, we're not going out there until Jacqueline shows up. Caroline Manzo. We were all like, we're here, we're doing it. We don't care. Lucilla D'Agostino. We kept pushing an hour, thinking maybe she would change her mind. Andy Cohen. I remember Caroline Manzo came to my dressing room in the most Caroline way. She was like, I want to be clear with you. Jacqueline is not showing up. So you're either going to send us home or not. But once Jacqueline makes up her mind about something like this, she's not showing up. She got through to me. Lucilla D'Agostino. Credit to Andy. It was the first thing we addressed at the top of the reunion. Andy Cohen. It was so confusing to the viewers that we were in the middle of production on season 4 during the season 3 reunion, and something happened the night before that was so bad that all of their allegiances had shifted. Everyone was so mad at Teresa, but they couldn't explain why because it was a spoiler for next season. It was a disaster. Season 4 had plenty of dark moments, but one heartwarming exchange took place between Kathy's kids and Rosie, Kathy's out and proud sister, and a fan favorite from her first moments on screen. Rosie Pieri. The first season Kathy was on the show, everybody would see me and be like, who's that? I didn't even know the cameras were on, to be honest with you. Then they wanted to mic me up the second time around, and I was a little nervous. I didn't know how the audience was going to take me, because I am who I am. I don't hide much. I did enough of that when I was younger. All my life, I hid. Now I'm just who I am, and that's it. Andy Cohen. Thank God for Rosie. Lucilla D'Agostino. I always loved the honesty that Rosie brought to the show. It takes a lot for someone to put themselves out there that way, especially on television. And she was charming. Rosie could be the toughest chick in the room and the sweetest and biggest heart in the room. Kathy Wakili. I've known my sister was gay since we were kids, but she never came out, and it wasn't my business to ever ask her. That's not my truth. That's not my business. If she wants to share it, great, but I don't want to overstep. And so when she finally did, it was like, ah, what a relief. What took you so long? But when they wanted to film her, I remember saying to her, Rosie, listen, if you want to be a part of this, I want you to be because you're my life. We're besties forever. But you have to be ready to be out publicly. And then I need you to have a conversation with my kids. They were both in high school and neither had a clue. Rosie Pieri. Kathy told production, look, she's not going to film before she talks to my kids about being gay. They automatically said, holy shit, we've got to get this on camera. So then I had to speak to our mom and explain to her that it would educate so many people out there. I told her, people are going to be thrown out on the street and have nowhere to go because their family doesn't accept them. If I could help 3 or 4 or 10 or even 1 family out there, then it's all worth it for me. She said, okay, go ahead. And we did it. It was very emotional for me. I have other nieces and nephews, and I love them all. But my sister's kids, I gave them their first baths. I love them like they are my own. I go back to that day and get emotional because they were just kids. Victoria was tearing up because she saw me tear up. And then Joseph, he's so funny. He goes, so Aunt Ro, do you have gaydar? He just broke the ice. It was so natural. Kathy Wakili. We raised them just to see love. It didn't matter. When they were kids, they asked me, Mommy, what does gay mean? And I said, well, gay means happy. They never really dug any deeper. I wanted them to know that their first interaction with the word gay is happy, you know? And I wasn't lying. Other moments, like one caught on tape between Joe Giudice and an unknown woman, were less touching. Sezen Chavisholo. We film for so many hours, you don't always catch every little thing that happens. That phone call with Joe at the vineyard? Nobody even knew it was there until I isolated everyone's audio tracks and listened. Lucilla D'Agostino. Listening to that audio was just like, holy shit. It seemed clear to us that he was having a conversation of a romantic quality. And also, in that conversation, he called Teresa a cunt. Sezen Çavuşoğlu. There were a million other conversations going on at the same time. And the most interesting one ended up being this side conversation Joe was having on the phone when he stepped away from the table. Lucilla D'Agostino. Putting the episode together was one of the only times that I have ever allowed a housewife to see something more than a day or two before it aired. We knew that conversation and that particular verbal insult to her was just explosive. So I created a preview link that would expire in 30 minutes so she could see it and emotionally deal with it in advance. We sent the link, and Teresa called me right after watching. My understanding is they watched in the house together, and Joe was so upset after watching it, he left the house. Teresa Giudice.
When that came out, I was like, you guys must have did something because Joe's never said that word to me. And Andy Cohen called me and told me, Teresa, he did say that. I was shocked.
Andy Cohen. File that under awkward conversations with Teresa. Kathy Wakili. I was getting calls from all the magazines and gossip sites after that, and I would say, no comment. They would ask me if Joe ever cheated, and I'd say, I never saw anything like that. And it was the truth. I never saw anything like that. Teresa Giudice.
Joe was drunk, and for 2 weeks, he didn't know what to do. He felt so bad for doing that, you know? He was drinking, he was drunk, and I don't know what, because I never heard him say that word before.
Lucilla D'Agostino. Teresa was devastated and honestly in shock. And she remained in shock about that for a while. But there was no way to say it didn't happen. You could see him saying it. You could hear him saying it. It wasn't taken out of context. It wasn't like he was telling a dirty joke to a buddy. It was all there. I'm glad we handled it the way we did, because it gave Teresa time to make the decision she ultimately did, which was to forgive him. Of course, Joe remained very, very mad. Teresa Giudice.
By the way, those cheating rumors never bothered me because I never caught him with a girl. And trust me, I'm the type, like, if I would have caught him, I would have been like, bye. Like, I would never give anybody a second chance. You have to be faithful. There's no way he's going to stick his penis in another girl, come stick it back in mine. That would never happen. I'm serious.
Hostility between Melissa and Teresa simmered throughout seasons 3 and 4. Eventually poisoning Teresa's relationship with many of her fellow cast members. It all came to a boil during a conflict that came to be known as Strippergate. Kim DePaula.
Teresa is the one who told Caroline and Jacqueline that Melissa was a stripper, that they did not want her in the family.
Teresa Giudice.
I had nothing to do with any of that.
Kathy Wakili. We went for drinks at the Hudson Terrace. We were just being silly, and there was a pole there, and Melissa was dancing by the pole or whatever. Jacqueline goes, was Melissa a stripper? And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? I know she was a barmaid, but I don't think she was a stripper. She goes, well, Teresa told me she was. I was like, come on, get the hell out of here. And that was the end of it. We laughed it off. Kim DePaula.
People would come to me with all the stories. Remember, I owned a local store. It was very easy for them to just walk into my boutique and tell me. I already knew she was a stripper. When Teresa and Caroline and Jacqueline were very, very close and Melissa was nowhere to be found, Teresa told them the truth that she was a stripper and that Joe would go around to bookers and whatever. Teresa was upset because he'd had a nice fiance and had broken up with the fiance for Melissa. She moved right in and they got married right away. The family didn't like her. It was an ongoing thing from day one. I knew, Jacqueline knew, we all knew. Then when Melissa came on the show, all hell broke loose. Word spread like wildfire that she was an ex-stripper.
Kathy Wakili. I felt bad because I didn't think it was relevant. She was or she wasn't, who cares? That's her business. I didn't really see how it mattered. But they made it to be like being a stripper was so bad, so dirty, and like, oh my God. Even if she was, who cares? She's not a stripper now. She's happily married. She's got kids. Why would you bring that up? The final straw was when Kim D invited Angelo Vrohidis, who claimed Melissa danced for him at the strip club he managed, to her posh fashion show. Kim DePaula.
I was talking to Teresa every day, 17 times a day, but I never said Angelo's going to come and call her out on being a stripper. I didn't trust any of them to not open up their big mouths, and I wanted it to go down the way I wanted it to go down. It was my plan. It was my fashion show. I told the producers what I was going to do because it wasn't my place to go ruining their show. But it was my place to bring what I needed to bring. But Teresa found out at the salon and she never told Melissa. She had every chance in the world to text Melissa and say, I was just at the salon and this guy Angelo says he was your boss. Teresa didn't care that Melissa was being set up. She couldn't stand her.
Teresa Giudice.
Kim D has admitted that I had nothing to do with that. She was just trying to do that to get a paycheck, you know?
At the fashion show, Angelo showed up as planned. As always happens with the Jersey ladies, things got dramatic. Kim DePaula.
I was told to come outside, and there was Joe Gorga screaming. I wondered, how the hell did Joe Gorga and Richie Wakili get all the way up to Montvale? An hour and 15 minutes away to my fashion show that fast. What happened was, when Melissa saw her ex-boss, Angelo, she texted Joe under the table and Joe flew over there. There's no question in my mind. The minute she saw him, she knew something was going down because she knew she'd work for him. Here's the thing. I didn't care about Melissa. I was friends with Teresa. I was part of a reality show. But Teresa knew a lot more than I admitted on the reunion. I didn't lie, I just omitted. I think Teresa denied it so heavily because the whole cast turned against her. They all hated her guts. She lost her position. It wasn't because she set Melissa up. They could care less. It was just the real Teresa was coming out, and they didn't like her.
Teresa Giudice.
Thank God my brother did not believe that. I was set up. They made it look like I would do something, and I would never do something like that. I actually think Jacqueline was behind all that. Did you see how she was smiling at the end? Her and Kim D planned that whole thing and tried to put it on me.
Tensions in the Giudice Gorga Wakili crowd continued to build, and in season 5, they culminated in a brawl between the Joes on a family retreat. Kathy Wakili. I don't even know whose idea that retreat was, but we really got in there and did the work. And I went to bat for Teresa when Joe called her scum. I said, Joe, that was not right. You don't talk to your sister like that. What are you doing? I continuously told him he needed to let it go. But I also told her she didn't need to bring her husband into it. She didn't need to let her husband know that her brother just called her scum. What did she think was going to happen? Teresa Giudice.
I just walked away, and then my ex freaked out because he's like, I have a sister. I would never have said that to my sister. And Joe's family, they're very loyal. In fact, they asked Joe's brother to come on the show. And I don't get along with Joe's brother's wife, but they both didn't come on the show because they didn't want to go against us. It takes a certain kind of person to do that to a family member.
Rosie Pieri. Kathy, Rich, and I were trying to stop the conflict. We wanted the best for the brother and sister. We didn't want them to fight. And we didn't want to fight with them either. That's not who we are as people. Caroline Manzo.
The family was there for one day, and I got a phone call. You got to come up here. Joe and Joe just got into a massive fist fight. Nobody's talking. Everybody hates each other. Everybody's in their room. I was like, what could I possibly do to fix this mess? But producers wanted to bring in a neutral party to talk to each of them. A car came and got me at like 4 o'clock in the morning. I had to drive 4 hours to Lake George. They all come down for breakfast, and who's sitting at the breakfast table? Me. They all look at each other like, what is she doing here? But they needed a moderator, so I was the only player left.
But perhaps the biggest fallout of season 5 was a mass exodus from the interconnected cast, Jacqueline, Caroline, and Kathy all left their full-time roles. Jacqueline Larita. I actually wanted to quit after the fourth season. I only came back to bring awareness to autism and tell our family's story. But filming just became burdensome and felt too forced. The energy on the show was changing. Lucilla D'Agostino. Jacqueline needed to take care of Jacqueline and her son. She was very vulnerable and honest about Nicholas's struggles and eventual triumphs. But it became evident to Jacqueline and to Chris that the show wasn't a positive experience for her anymore. It wasn't a healthy place. Like Jacqueline, Caroline had been anxious to leave for a couple of seasons, though her departure came with a bigger payoff. Caroline Manzo.
I was done season three. I was done. And I remember having conversations with Lucilla, and she was like, you're not going anywhere. So at season four, I said to Andy, I have to go. And he was like, no. I felt like I had too much respect for what we'd built because it was a phenomenon to drag it down. I said, I don't want to ruin your show, and I'm going to because I'm done. I have nothing left to give you. And they said, okay, give us one more season and we'll give you Manzoed with Children.
Kathy Wakili. I'm sure Teresa was jealous because she and Melissa both want spinoffs. I know Melissa desperately wants a spinoff. Teresa Giudice.
Oh, I didn't care. They always ask me for my own spinoff. I don't want it. My kids don't want it. I would never want my own show.
Andy Cohen.
Everybody wants their own show. Everybody.
Caroline Manzo.
I would have left either way, with or without the new show. I'm not that person that's going to hang on just because I want to be on TV. It's fun, it's great, it's all those things, but at the same time, you're in a whirlpool of nasty. Why would I want to subject myself to that? I walked away from a lot of money, but your sanity comes before money.
As for Kathy, she made appearances for the next two seasons as a friend, Rosie even joining her in the role in season seven, but eventually they too departed. Lucilla D'Agostino.
We tried with Kathy for as long as we could to stay honest to what her relationship was with Teresa, but it was repeating itself over. Kathy would try, Teresa would say no. Kathy would try, Teresa would say no. Rosie would try, Teresa would say no. And it doesn't work when someone's on an island.
Kathy Wakili.
I was happy to come back part-time because my daughter had a recurrence of her brain cancer, and I was checked out pretty much anyway. But I kept trying with Teresa and asking production, can I have a sit-down with her to clear the air and let her know we're here for her? And then one day, I had just gotten to my house in Florida. I got a text from production saying, Teresa's agreed to a sit-down tomorrow. We've convinced her. You and Rosie have to be there. So I booked a flight back to Jersey, only to be told by Teresa that I was a cancer she needed to cut out of her life. This was right after my daughter had brain cancer surgery, mind you.
Rosie Pieri.
I stayed pretty quiet in that scene because my sister had asked me, let me do the talking. I don't want this to be an explosive scene. So I kept my fucking mouth shut. But let me fucking tell you, it took everything for me to not say what I wanted to say and not jump over the table and fucking punch her face. I don't like liars, and I get infuriated when I feel I'm being manipulated. I just get like a caged animal. I'm a reactor. A switch goes off and I'm ready to fucking kill. It took everything for me not to beat the fucking piss out of her for calling us fucking cancer.
Kathy Wakili.
Teresa was very contradictory in that whole conversation, saying, I love you guys, you'll always be my family, but I need to cut the cancer out at that. I don't know what her deal was, so I just said, I'm so done.
Teresa Giudice.
I stopped talking to Kathy when I realized I was giving her a paycheck every week. I didn't get that at first because I was so upset that my family was doing this to me. And when I put it together, I was like, I'm so stupid. By entertaining her, I'm making her relevant. So I was like, I'm done. And I cut her and Rosie out of my life. That's why they got fired. They didn't have anything without me.
Kathy Wakili.
Afterward, Teresa was like sobbing in the car, because she knew she was wrong, but she couldn't change it. That was it. How much more could she do to us? It was the end.
Teresa Giudice. If she never came on the show, I'd probably still have a relationship with Kathy. But it is what it is, you know? You live and learn.
Kathy Wakili. Teresa never forgave me. Never. She doesn't know that word. She didn't forgive Melissa or Joe either. Rosie Pieri. Meanwhile, Joe Gorga was there the whole time and did nothing. Which, I knew Joe and Melissa would turn on my sister because that's who they are. They're not loyal. Especially Joe Gorga, that little two-timing fucking two-faced fuck.
Melissa Gorga.
Kathy was very hurt that she was no longer on the show. She thought I could make Teresa reconcile with her, or that I could have fought harder to keep her on the show. I can't make Teresa do anything. I can't make Bravo do anything, nor can Teresa make Bravo do anything. Teresa said that she was not filming with them, and Bravo made the decision not to stay with Kathy. She just had hard feelings about it.
Kathy Wakili.
Melissa says I was upset with her, that I was part-time or whatever. That wasn't the case at all. I didn't care about the show. I was upset that the phone call stopped. I was like, what the fuck is going on here? We were friends. I accepted you with open arms into this family. It's our real-life family. I was there for you. And then you turn your back on me?
Rosie Pieri.
My sister stuck up for Joe Gorga and his bitch wife and got beat up. When my sister needed them to stay by her side a little bit, they fucking dogged her. And they turned their back on her. So they're pieces of shit for doing that.
Melissa Gorga.
We have no relationship anymore.
Kathy Wakili.
Melissa's life is wrapped up in this show. My life is still the life and relationships that we had before the show, and I value those. For them, it all became about storyline, and I was just like, this is just plastic bullshit, and I backed away.
Teresa Giudice.
I'm still waiting for my thank you card from Kathy. If it wasn't for me, she would have never built her house in Franklin Lakes. You're welcome, Kath!
Kathy Wakili.
I'm not kissing anybody's ring anymore. Teresa thinks that she won, but what did she really get?
Season 6 of RHONJ saw a major cast shakeup. To start, producers decided to expand beyond Franklin Lakes and cast a wider net. The results were not well received.
Melissa Gorga.
I was a little nervous for our show. With no Caroline, no Jacqueline, I was like, I don't know that our franchise can handle the switch up.
Andy Cohen.
I lost a lot of sleep over what was to become of this massive hit show. It's next to impossible to replace family.
Sherry Levine.
I loved watching New Jersey because the family connection is not replaceable. You choose your friends, not your family. And the dynamics we saw play out over the different seasons were relatable to everyone because we all have family that we both love and pull against. The show was truly at a crossroads.
Lucilla D'Agostino.
So much of the show took place in that bubble of northern New Jersey. At a certain point, we said, let's open this up.
Amber Marchese, housewife.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be famous. I even practiced my autograph, though I had no talent whatsoever. I met Jim when I was in my 20s and started a family pretty young. And then I was diagnosed with cancer when my second child was 6 months old. So after that, I said to Jim, I want to do acting. I know what it's like to face uncertainty in life, and I just want to do what I want to do.
Jim Marchese, house husband.
I belittled the whole idea of her being an actress. Of course, she proved me wrong.
Amber Marchese.
I started taking acting lessons and was doing anything that came across my desk, so long as it wasn't porn. I was on a lot of casting calls for networks, and I applied for something that was very open-ended. Looking for affluent women to do a reality show. I had no idea it was Housewives.
Lucilla D'Agostino.
I'm not shocked to learn Amber saw it as an acting gig. In hindsight, that was part of the problem.
Amber Marchese.
I also knew Melissa Gorga, though when I knew her in school, she was Melissa Marco.
Melissa Gorga.
I hadn't talked to her in 15 years. I was very surprised because I heard through the grapevine, they found one of your old friends. When I found out it was her, I was like, oh my God, I forgot about her. I used to go to clubs with that chick.
Amber Marchese.
Melissa immediately looked to me as her competition. I know this because she called me and basically said, "Don't fuck with me. I own this show." I felt like Spock. I come in peace. We weren't there to take away money. We were all working together and should all have been able to sit at the table and give drama. But after she called me, I was like, I'm the outsider, so I thought it would be cool if I had a bit of a posse going in. My intention was to have the twins as backup. The twins were Nicole Napolitano and Teresa Apria, sisters who brought a new family into the cast. Nicole Napolitano, housewife.
I truly feel Amber would have never got chosen without us. Not to be pompous, but that's how I truly feel about it.
Amber Marchese. Production said to me, "Do you have any friends? Because you're in Central Jersey. All the girls are in North Jersey. It'd be cool if we could have a couple people in your camp." So we started recruiting people. Then one day, our friend Bobby Chisuli said he met these twins at Dunkin' Donuts. No shit, literally Dunkin' Donuts. Nicole Napolitano.
I'd lived in Colts Neck at that time for like, oh my gosh, it had to be over 15 years. And I would always go into town and I would have my coffee and I would see Bobby at Dunkin' Donuts. Our kids went to school together, but we would never talk. We were never introduced. Then one day, Bobby asked me out on a date. And then it was weird. He was just like, oh, you know what? Would you be interested in doing some kind of like reality TV?
Teresa Apria, housewife.
Nicole really got me involved. I knew nothing about it.
Bobby Chisuli, guest. The twins, they had a certain look, a certain attitude about them. I thought they'd be great. Teresa Apria.
Bobby lived in the same development with Amber and Jim. They were good friends, so he introduced us to Amber and Jim.
Jim Marchese. Bobby told us, "I literally met these Bobsy twins. They're dumb as the day is long, but they've got big boobs and they're really loud. I was like, all right, we'll try them." So we met them for a glass of wine, and they were all insane. They were perfect. Nicole Napolitano.
Because Amber always, always wanted to be a housewife, and they needed us to get her on. Bobby, Amber, Jim, they always watched Housewives. She lived and died by it.
Teresa Apria.
No, but I think she didn't know it was...
Nicole Napolitano.
She had a promoter, Teresa.
Teresa Apria.
You're right, you're right.
Nicole Napolitano.
Teresa didn't want to be a part of it. But you know how twins are. I was like, you are my dynamic duo. You have to do this.
Teresa Apria.
I was like, no, no way. My sister told me, we're going to be filmed for 3 days. It'll be nothing.
Nicole Napolitano.
Before I knew it, it was all decided and we were cast. We had no idea it was Housewives when we agreed. It wasn't until I got a letter like a few weeks later in the mail. We got something that said, "Welcome to Bravo's Real Housewives of New Jersey. You're going to be a housewife, this and that."
Andy Cohen. The twins were really cute. They brought Teresa's husband, Reno, with them. There was the whispered allegation that Reno had had an affair with his mother-in-law. It was all very Jersey Housewives. The trappings were there. Bobby Chisuli. At one point, me and Nicole had actually started dating. It wasn't a made-for-TV relationship. We'd been together about 7 months when the phone calls started coming through again from Bravo about wanting to take a deeper look at our group. Nicole Napolitano.
Let me tell you something. That relationship was real. We cared for each other, and we happened to get along very, very well. We even dated for almost a year after the show ended.
Season 6 also saw the return of the snarky favorite from the early seasons, Dina Manzo. Lucilla D'Agostino. Getting Dina back took begging, lots of begging. Dina Manzo. They had asked me back every season. Andy even came over one day with Rosé and tried to get me back. Andy Cohen. She didn't want to be on with her sister, so Caroline leaving opened up the door for her to come back. Getting Dina back was crucial to me. Dina Manzo. I wouldn't do it while my family was on. I just couldn't do that to my parents. Andy Cohen. She really just wanted to support Teresa.
Dina Manzo. They said, we need you because we're going to give Teresa a break. And we want it to be fun, the way season one used to be, where you guys hung out and had a good time. And I said, okay, I will have her back. Nobody is going to talk about her on my watch. Teresa Giudice.
That was sweet that she did that for me. I'm grateful. I love Dina. We've always been friends. We've never gone against each other. And that's the way they should be.
Lucilla D'Agostino.
It was really exciting to see her again for a hot second. It was like the Beatles were back together in a weird sort of way.
Andy Cohen.
It was very big that we got her back.
Despite all the new additions, the biggest storyline of season six centered around the longest-running Jersey girl. Teresa and Joe Giudice were facing serious legal troubles. As their struggles were captured on film, some questioned the show's role in promoting their behavior. Teresa Giudice.
I feel like everybody on the show had something to do with Joe and I getting in trouble. I feel like they called the government. I really do believe that in my heart. I mean, that's really upsetting.
Andy Cohen.
It was an interesting dialogue. On the one hand, you had an argument being made that these were criminals we were glorifying. On the other hand, I certainly felt like these were people who'd been sharing their lives with us for years. And now we were seeing, arguably, the most dramatic thing that could happen to them. How could we not show that?
Amber Marchese.
She committed a crime. Taxpayers are still cleaning up for her crime. There are banks that were hurt by them. Everyone goes, oh, big banks. No, there were some small banks that were hurt by that crime. There were companies that were hurt by her crime.
Andy Cohen.
People could say, well, you're paying them to do the show, so you're actually rewarding their behavior. But to me, this was a story we were all invested in and we had been following for so many years. How are we going to bail out of it now?
Dina Manzo.
I know how Teresa is. I understand her at her core. She's not malicious in any way. Does she always say the right thing? No. A lot of times, she says the wrong thing or she'll believe someone she shouldn't believe. But I was fiercely protective of her on and off camera that season because I love her kids like they're my own, and I could see past the show and see what was happening to everybody in real life.
Lucilla D'Agostino.
Teresa did not want to talk about her personal business. She did not appreciate people shooting scenes where they discussed it, because everything was speculation at the time. Mostly, it was all playing out behind closed doors in Teresa's house. We didn't know the extent of how bad it was, and at the time, Teresa was just learning herself how bad it was. I don't believe for one second that she knew the full extent of how this was going to shake out. The gravity of the situation and what ended up happening was a constant shock for her. There was always a feeling that something could be worked out, that it wouldn't involve jail time. And then it became abundantly clear that at the very least, Joe was going to go away. Obviously, every one of the ladies on the show had their opinions. But it was Richie Wakili who was always the most vocal. He was the one that was like, Joe's going to go to jail. He was one of the first people that I ever heard emphatically believe that.
Kathy Wakili.
Rich has no filter. He's like Joan Rivers. He says whatever everybody else is thinking. It was like, shut up, Rich. You can't say things like that. But it was not mean-spirited.
Rosie Pieri.
What did she expect? She knows the game better than any of us. So why would she be upset over us talking about it? And we were just saying that we felt bad. But she got upset because we were getting airtime.
Teresa Giudice.
Her husband was such an asshole.
Lucilla D'Agostino.
Honestly, as angry as any of the women ever were with Teresa, every single one of them felt horrible. It all goes back to being mothers, knowing that there are kids involved and that these kids are the ones who are going to suffer. Not that they agreed with the choice to not read the documents your husband makes you sign, or to not look at the credit card statements. For Caroline, it was always like, wake up!
Andy Cohen.
How's this for weird timing? We were pre-taping an episode of Watch What Happens Live and had Caroline and the Manzo kids come in to promote Manzoed with Children the day Teresa and Joe were being sentenced. We realized we couldn't tape the show until the verdict came in,
because I would want to ask Caroline her opinion about it. And I remember it was just so surreal sitting with the Manzos in my green room, waiting for this verdict to come in. It was very sad that day. We were all very sad. Nobody wanted them to go to jail. Teresa Giudice.
For Caroline to say that she knew what was going to happen to me, it was fucked up. She predicted what was going to happen. Like, why, bitch? Why are you predicting that? You're onto something. You're doing something, right?
Rosie Pieri. When she went away to prison, my heart broke for her. It did. I felt bad for her kids. How could I not? But Joe and Teresa brought it on themselves. I'm not saying their punishment was the right thing. I would have liked to see them not go to jail and pay back all the money they stole. Teresa Giudice.
I was mad at the show because obviously all eyes were on us. But it was Joe's fault. We're on national TV. It's like you should just do the right thing, you know?
Andy Cohen. I'm a very nostalgic person. I do feel a special connection with the women who have been on the longest because we've been working together and I feel like I got famous because of them and with them. I feel a connection to many of them that is very real and goes beyond a working relationship. So I was sitting there and I just thought, wow, here's this woman who's going to go to jail for something that her husband did, and she seems pretty in the dark about it. I really didn't know if she would ever be back on the show. I really didn't know if I'd ever see her again, or if the show would go on. There was just so much unclear. So as we were sitting there, I was starting to get really emotional. And that was when, in the season 6 reunion, I held her hand. Lucilla D'Agostino. The day on set when she grabbed Andy's hand at the reunion, all of us were crying in the control room, every single one of us. And we all cried when they walked off set because it felt like a death. Teresa Giudice.
I really thought I was not going to come back, and I figured I was going away, and that would be it. I thought my career was over.
Andy Cohen. I did a couple of interviews with them when they were first charged and before they went to jail. They were just terrible interviews. Joe was totally unrepentant, unsympathetic, and I can't say Teresa was very clear. She was so sedated. Teresa Giudice.
You know, for years I felt like Andy hated me because he always asked me the hardest questions. I was very sensitive. I didn't realize he was just doing his job, you know?
Andy Cohen. I didn't know what was going to happen to her. I didn't know if she would ever come back to the show, and we didn't know if we were going to wait for her. I drove out to see her in Jersey a week before she went to jail. I wanted us to be clean before she left, in case I never saw her again. There was so much that was uncertain, and she seemed willfully in the dark about what this prison experience was going to be. She was asking me what I thought she should do with her hair in prison. I mean, it was all very, very Teresa. Teresa Giudice.
I absolutely adore Andy. I love him so much. We kept in touch the whole time I was away. He was such a sweetheart. He was there for me and it meant a lot.
Andy Cohen. To access emails to a prisoner, you have to go to a website and enter all kinds of information. Every email I got from Tree had the subject line, "It's Teresa." It was totally unironic, like her. While the series' longest-running cast member was dealing with her legal troubles, the cast's newest members wasted no time starting their own drama. Melissa Gorga. The twins and Amber thought to be on The Real Housewives of New Jersey, you need to bring it. You need to scream. You need to go fucking crazy. And that's what they did. Lucilla D'Agostino. Amber had Danielle vibes. She's fit and smart. She has a smart mouth. She's educated and has the husband who had the job that wasn't the blue-collar job. It was very different for us. She also had that Danielle vibe in the sense that you just didn't know what was going to happen. Amber could frickin' hold her own. Melissa Gorga. I honestly think Amber and her husband were both fighting for the spotlight 24 hours a day. She was performing. She literally would say to her husband behind the scenes, "Oh, we did good. Did you see what we did there?" I would look at her like, that's not how we do this. Though Amber and the twins joined the cast as friends, a season-long falling out began on a trip to Atlantic City and quickly escalated when Amber caught wind of a rumor that Teresa Apria's husband had slept with her mother. Amber Marchese. I get this call from production like, "Hey, Teresa Giudice really wants you to go out to Long Island for her book signing. So they sent me a car to go out. And who is also there? Victoria Gotti. We ended up going to her house, which was sketchy. I was really fucking nervous. But then she was like, you know, I know the twins. I'm like, oh, there we go. So she starts telling this big story about Teresa Apria and Reno and the mom. My jaw went down to the floor because that's not what I thought I was going to hear on any level. I come to find out later that Teresa Giudice is using me as a pawn. The backstory I heard was that Teresa had done a lot of digging, found this out before the twins were even brought on, and then used me to bring it out into the world. Fucked up. On a trip to Florida that Dina hosted, the rumor was made public, but it didn't come out of a housewife's mouth. Amber Marchese. Jim said, I'll just do it for you. And that's what he did. It was going to come out regardless. Bobby Cesulli. One night, after we all came back from dinner, Jimmy started taunting me and Nicole in a very passive-aggressive way. He was talking about how he knew Amber was the girl for him the moment they met, and how he proposed right away, basically saying to Nicole, I don't know why Bobby hasn't gotten engaged to you yet. She and her sister were drunk, so they were buying into this bullshit, taking the bait. Teresa Apria.
Everybody was drinking a lot that night.
Bobby Cesulli. I was not going to fight with her on TV, so I left the room and went upstairs. That's when Jimmy tried to get Nicole pissed off at me, twisting some story about how I had a girl living in my place in Florida, which, by the way, Nicole already knew because she'd seen the damn rent checks. He was like diarrhea of the mouth, stirring the pot. Finally, Teresa came up and told me, so then I had to go down there because if I didn't defend myself, it would look like I was guilty. And in all this mess, that's when Jimmy broke out this big secret that wasn't even true, how Teresa and Nicole's mother slept with Reno. Teresa Apria.
You can call me whatever you want, sticks and stones. Call me a whore, call me a this, call me a that. I don't care. I know who I am. You want to talk about my husband? He's fine. He's a man. Let him go handle himself. But don't ever talk about two people in my life. Don't ever talk about my mother, who gave birth to me. And don't ever talk about my son, who I gave birth to. Because then we're talking war.
Bobby Cesulli. When I tell you all hell broke loose, it was completely out of control. I'm surprised the roof didn't blow off the house. They lost their minds when this happened. I thought, this kid has really gone over the deep end. I understand he wanted to be the villain breakout star, but there's got to be a fucking line somewhere that you just don't cross. Jim Marchese. I mean, I knew if I told a guy to go have sex with his mother on national TV, it would not be well received. Bobby Cesulli. Eventually, we all wound up back at the house, and me and Nicole's bedroom bathroom connected to Amber and Jimmy's room. And what did we hear for 2 hours? They were laughing hysterically about what just happened. Both of them. They were high-fiving each other, saying, you really brought it. Dina Manzo. I told production I was throwing him out. Teresa Apria.
They wanted to stay in the house. They wanted to go on that yacht so bad they were practically begging.
Nicole Napolitano.
They were humiliated when they got asked to leave the house. Humiliated. He got his balls cut off.
Jim Marchese. I had my tickets a month and a half early for the Florida trip. I knew I was only going to be there for 2 days. I had my return tickets. Everyone else got to stay for the week. We were going to get thrown out. That was the gag. Dina Manzo. Maybe they gave him a heads up that this was going to happen. But it was definitely me saying, he's disgusting. I will not film with him anymore. I want him out of here. Lucilla D'Agostino. Amber and Jim held on to this belief that Reno had sex with the twins' mom. And in an effort to make exceptional television, what better time to drop the bomb than on the group during the trip? So they probably knew they were going to say that and get kicked out. Dina Manzo. I really pushed back against the storyline in season 6. I even asked, what can I do to change it? What can I help with to make this not about somebody's mother? But that doesn't fly in reality TV. They want the most salacious thing. and it backfired because season 6 was the worst season ever.
Andy Cohen.
Yeah, it was terrible. I mean, it was bad. It was just bad.
Melissa Gorga. We lost a lot of fans, and we bottomed out for a minute.
Andy Cohen. Amber's husband was just too awful for TV, what can I say? Not since that Simon Van Kempen has there been a husband that went after me so hard. He was after me on Twitter for years, and he kept saying that he was writing a tell-all book about me. People who get spat out of the system, it's difficult sometimes. They have a very strong love-hate relationship with the show. On the one hand, they want to do anything they can to sink it. And on the other hand, they want to do anything they can to get back on it.
Jim Marchese.
I take it as a compliment. I joke around that I should have gotten an Emmy or an Oscar or something. Imagine not knowing any of these people and having to pretend.
Bobby Cisulli.
He has to have gone down as the worst, most hated man in Housewives history.
Andy Cohen.
Let's just say I don't get tweets from people saying, bring Amber and Jim back. They're the only two people who have asked for their return.
Lucilla D'Agostino.
There was a feeling among everyone that that particular experiment didn't work. We had stretched our arm entirely too far from the center of the world we had created.
Needless to say, Amber and the twins did not return for season 7. Neither did Dina, who said her final goodbye to the Garden State.
Dina Manzo. I moved to California right after the reunion. I talked to Bravo about maybe being on RHOBH at the time, because I lived in Malibu. All around, we felt like it wasn't the right fit because this is when they were on private jets everywhere. I was by no means poor, but that wasn't me.
After the failed experiment of season 6, producers weren't sure what was next. 4 cast members were leaving. 1 was going to jail. The show's future was in jeopardy.
Melissa Gorga.
We went on a pause because after season 6, we were like, we're lost here. This is not our show. This is not what we are.
Andy Cohen.
Taking a hiatus was unprecedented. It certainly pained us, but it was the only thing we could do. If we had been more successful at introducing the twins, or if Amber had been better liked by the viewers, then we would have kept shooting with them and brought in someone new or someone from the past. We would have shot while Teresa was in jail. But really, it was slim pickings for us.
Kathleen French.
That was a little bit of what we call a transitional year.
Lucilla D'Agostino.
We had long conversations with Teresa and Joe and their attorney about the possibility of tracking Joe being the single parent while Teresa was away.
Teresa Giudice.
They held the show for me, and I was so surprised, so grateful, and so thankful. I was just saying, wow, it really meant a lot to me, you know? It did.
Kathleen French.
While she was in prison, the network did a couple of specials where we showed Joe at home taking care of the kids. Taking the kids to the Jersey Shore and different things.
Lucilla D'Agostino.
And that was just part 1. Part 2 was Joe taking his turn going away.
Kathleen French.
The months leading up to Joe going to prison, he was a very unhappy man, and you could feel it in the show. Production knew it. They treaded very lightly around him. I'm sure he was reliving 1,000 things he did right and 1,000 things he did wrong. And you could see it on his face the whole time.
Lucilla D'Agostino.
It was really difficult, and it was very brave of both Teresa and Joe to agree to let us film during that time. Though the relationship between Teresa and her sister-in-law had been strained for years, Teresa's time in prison seemed to change her attitude toward Melissa.
Melissa Gorga.
We were on bad terms pretty much until Teresa went to prison. She basically went in without us speaking to each other. But prison changed things a lot. By the time it was time for her to come out, she was ready. She wrote me a letter saying, I can't wait to see you when I get out.
Teresa Giudice.
Nothing really changed about me when I was in prison. I was more like, God, is this what you have to do to me? I never went away to college, so I guess this is my way to go away to college.
Lucilla D'Agostino.
We were so sick and tired of the same conversation over and over again. They got tired of it too.
Kathleen French. I do think they probably talked and said, you know what, this is bad for the family, it's bad for our girls. Teresa's husband was about ready to go to prison, and she really needed her brother. They needed to put it to rest. I just wish they would have done that on camera. Melissa Gorga. Maybe her going to prison brought to light, like, you never know what could happen in this world. She realized I was not going anywhere. Lucilla D'Agostino. The truth of the matter is, Teresa's family is very tight-knit, and at a certain point, it became easier for everybody in the family to just drop it. The parents were getting older. This was before Teresa and Joe's parents died. Teresa Giudice.
I only made up with Joe because of my parents. I did it for them, that's why. My parents, it broke their heart, you know? They had two children. They didn't want us to fight. So I let it go with him. And Melissa was an extension of that. Obviously, if I want to make peace with my brother, I got it with her, too.
Melissa Gorga. We wanted for Teresa and Joe's parents to see us happy, so we fixed our relationship. And that's why I don't think Teresa and I will ever go back there. None of us would ever do that to my in-laws. Kathleen French. I also think they realized it was just a bad look. Danielle Staub.
I know, positively, beyond a shadow of a doubt, they're not on good terms. The only reason Melissa is around is because Teresa needs that whole element of someone to film with so she can stay on top. It's all fake. They hate each other. They just do all this stuff to make themselves look good for TV.
Kim DePaula.
Teresa hates Melissa, and Melissa hates Teresa. That is just the bottom line. Anything else anybody tells you is a bald-faced lie. They cannot stand each other, that is it.
Teresa Giudice.
I still hold a little bit of animosity toward Melissa. I'll never trust her again. Believe me, I keep the peace because I love my niece and my nephews, but I'll never forget. I forgave, but I'll never forget. How can you forget when somebody's done that to you? My own friends called me right away and my own family didn't? It's crazy. It still bothers me inside.
Melissa Gorga. As much as anyone wants to say the show ruined us, I totally say it brought us together. It forced us to go on vacations and girls' trips together and to have us bond outside of Joe and Joe, which was what we really needed. It forced us to rely on each other when newbies came in, because at the end of the day, our kids love each other and we're still family. Who are you going to back up if not family?
Teresa Giudice.
They never said sorry about it. Melissa never admitted to me like, yeah, I did this. I came on the show behind your back to hurt you. That would go a long way. But yeah, I'll never fight with them again like that.
After nearly 2 years off the air, RHONJ Season 7 began with Teresa's return home to her family after 11 months in prison. Kathleen French. It was like an Ocean's 11 jailbreak. They were letting her out in the middle of the night, probably like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, because they wanted to try to avoid the press. I was in LA, and I had my phone next to my bed, and they started texting me as things started to unfold. We're inside the jail. She'll be coming out any time. She's here. We're now driving away. We're being followed by the press. It was the craziest thing.
Lucilla D'Agostino.
We had to hide Teresa under a blanket while we were on the highway with cars all around us.
Kathleen French.
The press in front of Teresa's house was insane.
Lucilla D'Agostino.
We wanted to authentically capture that first moment when she walked in.
Andy Cohen.
I cried and cried watching her reunion with the girls, and it made me glad we kept following her story.
Lucilla D'Agostino.
She was very, very nervous, very quiet. If you look back, she looks so different. She did all that yoga, she had a different body, and she was a different person. It was like she had been a boiling pot before and someone put her on simmer. She was just soft and mild and completely focused on seeing her daughters. Nothing else mattered in the entire world.
Melissa Gorga.
Teresa changed for the better. After being judged by everyone, she realized that some of the things she used to worry about, or that used to matter to her, like the material things, don't mean anything anymore.
Lucilla D'Agostino.
Teresa graduated mentally from a place where what happened on the show ruled her life. By that point, Teresa's life was so much more dramatic than the television show. And at a certain point, she sort of put it in perspective. I give her credit for that. Kathleen French. She and the network took a few knocks from people saying, "This is a person who is a convicted felon." Personally, I respected that she was found guilty. She did her time, she came back, and was moving on with her life. She had shown herself to be a good mother, a good person. The seventh season also added some new names to the cast, including Dolores Catania, who had appeared on screen from time to time in previous seasons. Lucilla D'Agostino. If you go back and watch early episodes, Dolores is in a number of the scenes. She's at Christmas parties. She's at Teresa's housewarming. Dolores Catania, housewife. Jacqueline pushed for me over the years. And I remember Caroline kept saying, "You're missing out by not having Dolores on." But I saw people going to jail, sisters and friends who weren't talking, so I never had FOMO. But that season, it just worked. Kathleen French. She reached a point in her life where she and the ex were in a good place. The kids seemed like they were interesting and at an age where they would be a great added element. It just seemed like the perfect fit. Dolores Catania. I also knew Teresa very well. Andy Cohen. She speaks Teresa. She could kind of translate. It was a perfect fit. Dolores Catania. She was so timid that first day when I picked her up because it was her second day home from jail. She would jump when I pulled too close to a car. She was a shell of what she was before she went in. Not for long, though. A second addition was Siggy Flicker. Siggy Flicker, housewife. I was introduced to Housewives through Jacqueline Lurita, who rejoined the cast that year. She basically said to me, "Listen, we have a situation where Teresa's coming out of jail, and we need a fun, bubbly show. It's gotten too dark." Lucilla D'Agostino. With Siggy, we were excited to bring on someone with an entirely different life experience and cultural background. Her passion for being Israeli and being Jewish, I've never seen anything that has equaled our cast's passion for being an Italian-American. She brought a whole new flavor and awareness to our cast. Kathleen French. Siggy was such a Jersey girl. She's funny, really funny. She was an accomplished person and an educator with such personality who was raising two kids. She just brought great energy to the group. Lucilla D'Agostino. And Siggy does not suffer from a lack of opinions, so it was exciting to see her almost in Caroline's role, offering up advice, being the sophisticated adult in the room. As Siggy said, the third new cast member was actually a returning one. After a season away, Jacqueline was back, but her return was short-lived. Jacqueline Lurita. Toward the end of season six filming, producers called me and begged me to help save their show because filming wasn't going well. By that time, I missed my paycheck, so I agreed to film again. You sort of get this temporary amnesia in between filming seasons, and you forget how stressful it is. Lucilla D'Agostino. The breakup of Jacqueline and Teresa's friendship was painful, so on the production side, we were all hopeful there could be a reconciliation. Teresa Giudice.
I hold grudges when you screw me. When I'm your friend, I'm loyal to the core. So with Jacqueline, I never trusted her again. I was trying and I did try, but I just never trusted her.
Siggy Flicker. When you had Jacqueline and Teresa filming, it was just so real. There was tension there. And Jacqueline was an OG. She put a lot of heart and soul into that series.
Melissa Gorga. Honestly, Jacqueline could not take the stress.
Andy Cohen. She had become very, very polarizing to the viewers. She was really overly active on Twitter in a way that was detrimental to her own mental health, to the mental health of the other housewives, to the mental health of the show. Her relationship with the show and the viewers' relationship with her just became too toxic.
Teresa Giudice.
Jacqueline was my best friend. Was my best friend. That hurt me so bad what Jacqueline did, siding with my family and turning on me like that.
It's like when a boyfriend cheats on you. How do you ever forgive them? You can't.
Melissa Gorga. Jacqueline's life was 24/7 Real Housewives of New Jersey. She never turned it off. So I knew that it was really affecting her. I almost wanted them to take her off for her own good. The Housewives spent season 7 finding their footing after a long hiatus, and when season 8 rolled around, there was a familiar face returning to the show. Noah Sampton, Senior Vice President, Current Production, Bravo. The stories were getting a little tired and dark, and the audience wasn't thrilled. We were trying to inject some new life and take a little bit of a new approach. And when we were meeting before the season started shooting, it came up that Danielle and Teresa had reconnected. Teresa Giudice.
When I was away, I thought about Danielle, and I felt bad that her job was taken away from her. She's a single mom, and I was getting ready to be a single mom. I wanted her to know that I did not take her job away from her. That was Caroline and Jacqueline who took her job away from her because they refused to film with her. I always wanted to work with her again. She was great TV. That's why I wanted to go have yoga with her.
Danielle Staub. Teresa reached out to me when she was finishing up her stay at the country club prison, or whatever you want to call it. She said going away had changed her. She knew I'd always loved yoga. I didn't just find it in prison. And she wanted to write and sell a pretend book, so she had to make people believe yoga was her thing. She was like, listen, I'm really sorry. I'd never take a paycheck from you again. I know now what it feels like to be a single mom. I go, you really don't. You have your mother and your father raising your children. I mean, it's different. But I gave her a chance because I felt like she was being genuine. Like she genuinely needed a friend. The rest of them had turned on her.
Noah Sampton.
Of course, when we heard the two of them did yoga together, our jaws dropped. Like, how's that even possible?
Jacqueline Larita.
I heard Teresa thought I was coming back to the show and was using Danielle to come at me because she knew I didn't like Danielle and didn't want to film with her.
Danielle Staub.
Yup. Teresa thought Jacqueline would be coming back and she wanted me to go after Jacqueline for her so she could look sweet as pie, like she'd learned everything she needed to learn in prison and was just as clean as could be.
Teresa Giudice.
Listen, Danielle's her own person. I'd never tell somebody to go against someone else, because then we're on a TV show and they could go against you, you know?
Jacqueline Larita.
Danielle used Teresa too. The week before they made up, Danielle was trashing Teresa on social media. It was a connection to get back on the show. Teresa was her ticket in.
Danielle Staub.
They'd asked me back since season 4, but I said, there's no way if I don't have an ally. Then enter stage left, Teresa, fresh out of prison.
Andy Cohen.
She had asked to come back pretty much every year. There were many emails, but I kept telling her there was no natural way into bringing her back. As the years went by, and then Teresa started interacting with her, Teresa thought it would be interesting for the show, and I did too.
Noah Sampton.
Danielle is a lightning rod. We had a big internal discussion of, is this somebody we want to bring back? Danielle certainly made for very interesting television, but she was controversial and had a dark history that was not necessarily exactly what we wanted our shows to be.
Danielle Staub.
They offered me a friend role, and I couldn't understand why I would want to return for a limited role and limited pay. But they convinced me that I would eventually be asked back full-time. I wasn't thrilled about it because my gut told me that the limited role would leave me wide open for those who needed to make a name for themselves. Those people needed somebody to shit all over so they could look like a big deal.
Noah Sampton.
It was almost forced on us. Danielle and Teresa were suddenly friends, which happened completely organically. Before we knew it, she was there for the entire season and actually doing well.
Lucilla D'Agostino.
Obviously, it ended disastrously, but for the brief period of time that it was real, it was very real for Danielle. It was very real for Teresa.
Another new face in season 8 was Margaret Josephs. Margaret Josephs, housewife.
They wanted me to do it in season 6, but I was signed for my own reality show to a different production company. 2 years later, they needed somebody new. I was like, all right, it's time.
This was the dysfunctional family I was meant to be with.
I was like, I put the fun in dysfunction.
Noah Samden. We looked at Margaret, and it was like, wow, this is somebody who feels completely different. There was just something about her that was so interesting and compelling. Lucilla D'Agostino. Margaret has a style of sarcasm that I'd never seen on this particular Housewives. Andy Cohen. Margaret is amazing. She's a Jersey woman who tells it like it is, and she really makes me laugh. She was like the Dorinda of that show, but without as much history with the cast. She's really grown to be a fan favorite. Noah Sampton. If you watch her casting tape, there's just one-liners all across. People focus so much on the drama, but the humor is so important to us, and she was a home run in that regard. Lucilla D'Agostino. And how can you not love a grown woman in pigtails? Noah Sampton. We always look for someone who has layers about them and fodder for storytelling. She had this cast of characters around her and the story of her ex-husband, who she's super close with. Margaret Josephs.
I was not going to pretend I didn't have an affair because people were going to ask me how I met Joe. I had to be upfront about it. If I said I didn't have an affair, then people would find out and go, oh, you cheated. I had to be honest about my life. It was nothing I was ashamed of.
Danielle Staub. She needed to fit in with a group that didn't quite like people who cheated. Dolores got cheated on. Teresa got cheated on. I got cheated on. Everyone said, if a woman cheats, I'm never going to allow them into the group. This woman was bragging